Okay, very good question. The scripture tells us that he pointed out there in Galatians. This is what it says in Galatians chapter number 3. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now the interesting thing about that is when you compare that to James, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin or convince the law's transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So there is a book of the law, and there is a royal law. Check that out. Look up in the Old Testament, you'll find out that there is a book of the law. What he was pointing out about the ordinances, it says the handwriting of ordinances.
Right.
Look in the Old Testament, you'll find out that the book of the law was handwritten by Moses. Okay? There's more than one law. He has a big trash can that has the word law on it, and he just dumps everything in. He doesn't rightly divide and see that there is more than one law. The law of the clean and the unclean there in Leviticus 11. And I use a shovel, by the way, to directly answer your question when I'm picking up an unclean animal. The book of there in Leviticus 11 is a separate law commandment, just like the Ten Commandments is a separate law. Okay? Now it's his turn to answer. Go ahead.
Do you want me to answer that question? Or?
Oh, do you want to go to another one? Okay.
I can respond to that if you'd like, and that is this.
I said I use a shovel when I'm picking up a dead animal. Okay.
Okay. So do you not eat
47 times people who don't believe in it? Like, even if you don't know it, how are you supposed to know? So you can still be a sinner if you don't know that they don't eat it. Mm-hmm. Well, 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about a situation like that. It says, well, if you don't know, it says go ahead and eat. If you don't
know. If you do know, do you still eat it?
No. I don't even drink Coke in front of Mormons. They think it's wrong to drink Coke. But anyway, back to the first question. Is that was a man-made distinction about the book of the law and all that. That's just made up. In Galatians 5, verse 3, the passage I brought up says, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, what's the law there?
He's speaking rhetorically. Go ahead.
It includes circumcision. That's not the Ten Commandments.
Right.
This is the law that he's talking about there is the thing that includes circumcision. So if you try to keep one law, you're a debtor to do the whole thing. That's not talking about the Ten Commandment law. It's talking about all of it. I was answering the first question.
Okay, we're going to have to move on. We've got 20 minutes. Let's get somebody else. And if nobody else has any questions, we'll get back to you. Yes, ma'am.
You said that the book of the law was made up.
No, I said the distinction between the book of the law and the Ten Commandments is a man-made distinction. The book of the law, huh?
How?
The book of the law is simply the God's book, Old Testament. It has the Ten Commandments inside of it.
That's the real thing, though, right?
No, the book of the law is the Old Testament. Okay. Period, all of it.
Okay.
I just have to say, in the Old Testament, I don't know scripture and verse, but I do know that the Bible distinctly says that the book of the law is placed inside of the Ark of the Covenant, and the royal law, which is God's law written by His finger on stone,
mm-hmm.
is in the Ark of the Covenant. So that does distinct one from the other.
Okay, who had the next question about Cocker?
Well, am I supposed to answer that question?
Do you want to?
Well, sure.
Okay, how long, Brother?
It doesn't distinguish anything because the Ten Commandments were part of the book of the law that were in the side. Okay? And, all right, think of this. This law in Leviticus 20, in Leviticus 18, against having sex with an animal. Now, let's see. That was it wasn't part of the Ten Commandments. It was in the side of the ark. Is it still binding today? Is it still wrong?
I'd say there are a lot of things.
All right, then. So that distinction, you just admitted there is a distinction false. The distinction falls. You believe that things in the side of the ark are still binding, so doesn't matter what part of the ark it was in.
So you're saying that you believe that all the law is cast away. Do you think you can have sex with animals?
No, because it's forbidden in the New Testament. What's the next question?
Brother Cox.
Are you saying that we're not supposed, don't have to keep the commandments?
It's just like this. What about the commandment where God told Noah to build an ark? Do you have to keep that? No, I am answering the question. If you don't understand, I'm asking him, is the commandment for Noah to build an ark? If you don't want to hear the answer.
He said he came to fulfill the word, not to do away with it. Okay?
All right. Next question. Yes, sir. Yes. And your name is Brother Dennis.
Brother Dennis. So, Bill, if I were to say, for an example, judge no man according to his adultery.
Where is that found in the
Bible? It's not.
Oh, okay.
And if I were to say, judge no man according to his slander.
Okay.
If I were to say, judge no man according to his murder, I believe we would all agree that that'd be preposterous.
Sure.
And stupidity manifest.
Yes, sir.
Then what does it mean when it says, judge no man according to his Sabbath days?
The Sabbath days there is in plurality, and that is referring to, and here again, I have to go back to the fact that the Lord has demonstrated to me that there is a difference between the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Law. The Sabbath days there is referring to the high Sabbaths that were dealing with all the feast days that he kept throwing up there saying, do you do them? Do you do them? You going to do them? No, I don't do them. I don't do them because I have more than one reason. But one thing is they're in the Book of the Law and not in the Ten Commandments. But another reason is the ordinances that he was making such a point about being nailed to the cross. Go back and read your Old Testament and find out what those ordinances are. The ordinance of Passover, the ordinance of trumpets, the ordinance of those feast days and stuff is nailed to the cross. Why? Because Jesus became our Passover. Okay? So, that's why it says, judge no man according to the Sabbath days and the new moons and the meat and the drink. That's all offering. That's all having to do with the sacrifices and the high holy days, which we do not observe. We observe the Ten Commandments and the law of the clean and the unclean. We don't observe the Book of the Law. Next question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to agree. 1 minute each. Try to limit 1 minute. All right. Here's Colossians 2. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of meat, drink, respect of a holy day, or of the Sabbath days. Now notice all four of the categories. Meat or drink, that's the daily. The holy days, that's the high Sabbath, as he calls it. The seven yearly feasts, the new moons, the monthly, the Sabbath. The only thing left is the weekly. Now look at this. Numbers 28, the morning and the evening is the daily. Sabbath is the weekly. The beginning of your months is the monthly. And then you have the yearly. 2 Chronicles 2 verse 4, you have the morning and the evening, that's the daily, the Sabbath, that's the weekly, the new moons, that's the monthly, the solemn feast, that's the yearly. 2 Chronicles 8, every day, Sabbath, that's the weekly, the new moons, the monthly, the solemn feast is the yearly. 2 Chronicles 31 verse 3, the morning and the evening, that's the daily, the Sabbath, that's the weekly, the new moons, that's the monthly, the set feast, that's the yearly, the high Sabbath. Nehemiah 10:33, the continual meat offerings, that's the daily, the Sabbath is the weekly, do you see my point? The new moons, the monthly, the set feast, the yearly. Ezekiel 45:17, the meat offerings and drink offerings, that's the daily. The feast, that's the yearly. The new moons, that's the monthly. The Sabbath, that's the weekly. You have all four categories mentioned every time. Go back down to Colossians 2. The meat or the drink, that's the daily. Respect of a holy day, that's the seven high Sabbaths, that's the yearly. The new moons, the monthly. The only one left is the weekly. Don't let any man judge you with respect to the weekly Sabbath. All of those scriptures go hand in hand together to show you that.
And what I love about that is found in Hebrews chapter number 4, where it says, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now you read that, I'm going to have to skip some verses. Verse number 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. How did God do from his? The seventh day Sabbath. And James says,
that we have to keep the whole law. And the law he was talking about was the Ten Commandments. All right, next question.
Wait a minute, Bill. Hold on. You answered that question first.
Oh, okay.
Then I answered it, and then you brought up Hebrews 4. No, it's better for... Okay. Well, what I'm saying is, in the future, let's just do it according as we agreed to, okay? If that's okay, friend. Now, look at Hebrews 4. It's talking about a rest that we're going to enter into. But it's not the Sabbath rest. This is the rest of heaven. It's something that we work to enter into, and it's a promise. It's not a command. The Sabbath is a command. The rest of Hebrews 4 is a rest that is promised to us. Notice Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. That's not the Sabbath. That's heaven. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And do you are troubled? Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That rest is talking about heaven. That's the rest that's promised to Christians. The Sabbath rest is a command. This is a promise that we receive. Now we should go to the next question.
All right, Sister Pauline.
I'd like to know for this one here, not to use it for him. If the Lord himself, you prayed and asked God to show you something, and the Lord showed you something, and you told him, you said, Lord, you make me so and so if it's wrong. The Lord answered your prayer. And does that, what would you do? Would you quit whatever you were doing?
Mm-hmm. I did too, thank you. You know, okay. That's the same thing. Have you ever studied with the Mormons?
No, sir.
Okay, here's what the Mormons do. They say, we want you to read as much as you will of the Book of Mormon. Ask God if it's really the truth, and He'll tell you. And they say, oh, and everyone will say, He told me it was the truth. Does that mean I believe that it's the truth, the Book of Mormon? They say the same thing that you just said, but I don't guess it proves the Book of Mormon is true.
All right, thanks. All right, Kayla, I guess you can have another one.
You didn't want a rebuttal?
Huh?
You didn't want a rebuttal on me?
Well, you were so non-specific, Darwin. You should have told him that. She's told me the story before, okay? And it's about whether she should have eaten pork or not. And I can honestly say,
I was trying to be nice.
You were nice. Thank you for being nice.
Now look, that's a better compliment than what you got out of it.
I know it was.
I would have to say this also, and like he said, you know, this doesn't prove it for anybody else. It proves it for me. When I first met these people, and they told me you're not supposed to eat pork and shellfish and all that, I had a freezer full of pork steak. And we had just gotten a big chunk of pork that we had bought at a meat slaughterhouse. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to study this because I know what it says, but I feel like it doesn't apply to us now. So I said, I'm going to study this. And if I shouldn't have been eating it, then I need to go ahead and stop anyway. And if it's all right to eat it, we'll just go back to eating it. So I said, we're going to go up to the Waffle House and I'm going to have one more ham and cheese omelet. And then I'm not going to eat any more pork until I've come to a conclusion whether this is right or wrong. Like I said, this solves it for me. I went up to the Waffle House and we sat down and I ordered a ham and cheese omelet. It's the best ham and cheese omelet I ever had. Tastes great. Lisa, I ordered two ham and cheese omelets and she said, no, I want grilled chicken. I said, baby, get you a ham and cheese omelet. And she said, no. She said, if it turns out it's right we ain't supposed to eat that stuff, we don't even need that last ham and cheese omelet. We need to stop it now. Well, I went ahead and ate my ham and cheese omelet, and it tasted great. I was honestly, sincerely looking for the truth. You know, I hadn't really even studied it yet. All I had said was, I'm going to study it. That omelet didn't even make it out of the parking lot. I walked out the door, all of a sudden my stomach started churning, and I hurt that omelet all the way to my car, and left in the parking lot. My time's up. Oh, yeah, sorry. The point being, it solved it for me, but like the man pointed out, that doesn't solve it for everybody else. Yes.
Bill, I guess it could be a two-part question, maybe part for Pat. You read a scripture a little earlier about every creature.
First Timothy 4, I believe.
Could read that.
See if I can find that. There it is, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Every creature of God is good, and nothing be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Is that what you're referring to?
It is a created thing, a product.
Right.
So man is a created thing.
So we're all
pigs creatures. Are created things.
Exactly.
So we're all creatures. Yes.
So we're all creatures.
Yes.
Now, would we agree that that passage right there, the context there, is relatively clear that it's talking about animal creatures and not rubber soles over there on my pew?
I can't agree with that because the word there, creature, is creature, is creature. You know, every creature, and see, he left off verse number 5.
Okay?
Sure, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer.
Okay, and the second question was this, if, where Peter dropped the sheep back, and the animals, obviously, was somehow the other owned the sheep.
Uh-huh.
To me, it would seem nonsensical for Peter to answer the way he did, if unclean beast wasn't on that sheep.
Well, sure. The Bible says, where's it at right here? Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Everything was on there, okay? Now, the interesting thing about this is, and this blew right over top of my head, until he did me a favor and brought it back a while ago, is that it says, and I missed this, I could have really had made a good point out of this. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And he keeps throwing common and unclean together, and it's two different distinctions. Biblically speaking, a common thing is something that is mixed in with an unclean thing. An unclean thing is just unclean. So, for God to tell him, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common, then the point is, he's not saying, that call not thou unclean, that call not thou common. So, it's a mixing thing. Okay? And here again, he cleansed the Gentiles. And Peter said, just further down there, you know how, were you here at the first part of my presentation?
No, sir.
All right, well, I showed the part where Peter said that it is unlawful for me to come to, that's not an exact quote. It's unlawful for him to go to anybody other than Jews. Okay? It was a mixing thing. Okay? Common that is a mixing thing.
But would we be wrong to assume here in this verse that both the common and the unclean was on the sheep since Peter?
The unclean was on the sheep, therefore anything that was clean has now become common.
So, yes.
And there were cows on the sheep.
Yes.
There were pigs on the sheep. There were creeping things.
So
there were stains.
Peter then that he had cleansed everything on the sheep.
What he told Peter was, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And if you'll read the rest of the chapter, it said that Peter doubted within himself what the vision meant. Peter was confused. And down toward the end of the chapter, he said to them, God hath showed me not to call any man. Okay? He didn't say, you know, the point of the vision was a man.
But Bill, I forgive me for even the cause now, argumentative, because I'm not. It's just, it seems like I'm hearing two things.
From me?
Well, yeah,
I wish you'd been here.
It's probably my fault. It's probably my fault. And I was just say, I'll just ask this one more time.
I wish you'd been first part.
And then, yeah, and then I'll sit down and shut it. But see, what I understood, you agreed with me when I said that both the common and the unclean was on the sheep.
Yes.
And if the unclean was on the sheep,
uh-huh,
God told Peter he cleaned whatever was on that sheep.
That's not what he said.
And he told him to eat it.
That's not what he said. He said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter argued with him. But then the point of the vision was, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou come.
But
now, you've got to understand it with the food issue here.
Peter wouldn't have argued.
But you have to understand the food issue.
His only argument would have been about the unclean.
But you've got to understand the food issue. Okay? The voice said, that call not thou common.
Right.
See? Common would be a clean animal that has been with an unclean animal. Okay? So he's not even talking about, he didn't say, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou unclean. He said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. So whatever it was, that call not thou common. Okay? He didn't say that call not thou unclean.
Okay, so the unclean that was on the sheep.
That was to get Peter's attention.
He didn't clean.
That was to get Peter's attention.
Did that not typify the Gentile he was sending him to?
Yes.
He saw the Gentiles. Yes. Well, then was the Gentile clean?
Right. He cleansed the Gentiles.
Then it would have been like better to have cleansed the unclean meat to draw.
I wish you'd have been here for the whole presentation.
Okay. Yeah, okay, well, I'm
thinking along with it. Darrell's right. There's a parallel there. The parallel's between the unclean meats and the Gentiles. And if the Gentiles have been cleansed, so have the unclean meats. And that's why God told him to eat the unclean meats. Now, how many, are we through with our 20 minutes?
Well, I have to agree with him about the issue of there being a parallel. I do have to agree with that. But what I'm agreeing with is not that the meat is cleansed. What I'm agreeing with is there were three unclean people coming to see him, and the sheep was let down three times. So I am agreeing with that parallel. That part of it is a parallel.
Can I make a statement?
No, no statements. We've got to do questions. He's getting irritated. Yes.
He had a second question. Can I have one?
Well, let's get somebody that hadn't had a first question yet, and I see Cliff's hand, and I see Mother Williams.
I think
you got to come back here. Let's give Mother Williams a question.
When you talk about the bell, it may then the parents of people, they say they change Saturday to Sunday. Is that true?
It's true that they say that, yes. They don't have any authority over God. I mean, the Pope says he's the vicar of Christ, for crying out loud.
Right.
You know.
Is it true that they changed the Sabbath until Monday?
It's true that they say that, but they have not do it. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. Did you want to reply to that?
In the Old Testament, they're required to keep the Sabbath. In the New Testament, God says that we're to worship on the first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Were you going to say something, Darrell? Okay.
Give me chapter and verse where it says God said we have to worship.
Yeah.
All right,
Claire.
My question is for now, if I understand you correctly, you believe that it is okay any meat, and it won't take you to hell if you eat. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Every creature of God has nothing to be refused.
But if you really believe it, then I'm not committing you one way or the other. That's what the scriptures do.
Okay.
But if you really believe it, and you stand before God and you find out that it was okay for you to do it. But what if you get to heaven and you find out that it wasn't okay, or you
know your answer for that.
Well, I don't know what you're thinking, but 1 Timothy 4, where it says we're not to abstain from meat, that false teachers do that. It also said they forbid to marry. So I believe the Bible teaches it was right for me to marry my wife, Carol. Neither one of us had been divorced, Daryl. So we had a scriptural marriage. Now, what if I got to heaven and the Catholic tells me, what if you get to heaven and find out it wasn't right to get married? I'm not planning on getting to heaven to find out something that's different from the scriptures.
I ain't talking about the Catholic.
That's my parallel.
His point is, to him, it's a non-issue. To him, he's going to get there.
Forbidding to eat meat is the same as forbidding to marry.
Right.
The Bible makes it clear that both of them are okay. So you won't get to heaven to find out.
But now, to us,
God's not a liar.
To go ahead and not do it.
Well, how about it? Would it be safer for me just not to get married? Would it be safer for me not to get married? Since the Catholics say maybe a preacher or a priest shouldn't get married?
I don't know why you keep bringing back the Catholics.
I'm making a parallel. The Catholics do what 1 Timothy 4 says. They forbid people from getting married. I don't think they're right, and so I got married. And for the sake, people forbid eating meats too, just like 1 Timothy 4 said it's wrong to forbid eating meats. People do that. But I see that the Bible teaches every creature of God is good. Nothing to refuse, so I take confidence in the fact that it's right to be married and right to eat pork to the same degree of certainty. Well, I'm willing to face God in judgment with those two things.
If it appears like that, I'm going to be argued.
No, that's okay. I don't mind.
All right, Caleb.
Okay, I got my question. You said if we're not under that law anymore, he says something about it being okay. You said if we're not under that law anymore. Because that law is in the Word, and it is part of the Word, and God is the Word, and
You know the law that says Noah built an ark, that was in the Word, and God is the Word, does that mean we're not under God either?
No.
So how you would answer that is the same as I would answer that.
Okay, he said that to Noah, he didn't tell us.
Right, he told that to the Jews, he didn't tell it to any Gentiles. Are you a Jew?
Yeah, but now we're mixed, right?
Are you a Jew?
Yes, we are.
No, he never told it to any... The only law that was to was the physical Jews. And he said there were no physical Jews here tonight. Daryl, I've already pointed out that 9 of the 10 commandments are in the New Testament. We're in the New Testament, so we have to keep them. I've already pointed that out.
He pointed out from the scriptures that had the word Sabbath in the New Testament.
Right. Yeah, like you're not supposed to, you don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore, Colossians 2. If you what? If you don't come together,
how about Sabbath? Is it a sin if you keep the Sabbath and eat, don't eat clean meat?
No, not as long as you come together on the
sin.
Not as long as you come together on the first day of the week with the church and eat the Lord's Supper. I think Daryl had a question.